The Overnightscape 1955, Night Versions 2, October 13th, 22, 07/36.
I'm going to listen to it today. But zomes is again related to those domes, a zome, right? And let me see, zomes. I think they're like domes, but they're more like tall, like teepees or something. Let me see. Are you allowed to say teepee anymore? I don't know. I need teepee for my bunghole. Yes. Zomes. Yeah, yeah. No, they're almost teardrop shaped domes. That, you know, I mean, as I am a real fan of utopian architecture, I know zomes are a big part of that. Again, I'm not an expert in it. I'm just sort of I dabble in utopian architecture, you know. And I remember there was a scene in one Thomas Pynchon book where there were some zomes. Was it possibly in Bleeding Edge? Let me look this up. I don't know if I can find it, but he was talking about zomes. What's the etymology of zomes? We'll have to see. No, it was actually an Inherent Vice. Ah, look at this. Zomes. Zonahedral domes. The name zome, a combination of the words dome and zonahedral geometry, was coined by Steve Baer following his discovery of this unique geometry in 1969, good year for utopian architecture. This patented construction system is an evolution of 5,000 years of geometrical discovery from the Babylonians to R. Buckminster Fuller at Arapentimiento, 249 Doors to Other Dimensions, 253 Shasta's Necklace, 262 Corners Constrict the Mind, Domes Break into New Dimensions. Oh, this is a quote from Steve Baer. Corners constrict the mind, domes break into new dimensions. Yeah, I remember this scene. There was some guy that was like going into another dimension with a zome or something. Love that Inherent Vice. It's a good book. Not a great movie, but it's a good book. And look at this. Here's a geocritical reading of Thomas Pynchon. Wow. Let's see what this is all about. Pynchon in Place, a geocritical reading of Thomas Pynchon from May 2018. Wow. Let's see if we can find the zomes in here. Oh, I can't search? All right. Anyway, let's move on from that, shall we? Hey, it's a bit later now. I think it's been raining a little bit, but nothing major. Not that big of a storm, it doesn't seem. So I've been listening to Ghost Power, and I have to say, I'm really not digging it. It seems like it has the same issue I had with Cavern of Antimatter, which is that it just lacks depth. It's very hard to like pin down what it is about it I don't like. It feels like something that's very surface level. The music is good, but I'm not really enjoying it. It doesn't have the depth that Stereolab has. And it's strange because it's the same guy that wrote the Stereolab music, but...
Stannis, January 3rd, 12, PQ, 074/113.
I wonder if you could call a hippie who sits down in the pad somewhere and plays the guitar and sings folk songs a good time Charlie. Because that's all he's after, you know. A big butter and egg man. And then there was another one, you see, and then it was a little further on in the discussion, my father described my Aunt Min as a red hot cookie. Well, now that was very difficult to absorb about an aunt. I mean, a cookie, a red hot cookie. And of course, I immediately could see gingerbread men, all kinds of things with raisins for eyes and all that, you know. And there was a long, involved discussion about that. I never quite got that one. There is no actual communication between generations. That's a fact. Now, most of you are lucky to be in a generation. You can find somebody you can communicate, the other slobs that are in your generation. You know, I think that me, along with about 15 other guys, have no generation. There's nobody I can communicate with. That is the truth. I mean, it's a fact. Because all the guys who were around when I was a kid and all that, they're mad about things that never got me mad. It's a fact. And it's a truth. And so, I mean, I can't get mad about the same things that Norman Mailer's mad about. I should, you know, we're same crew and all that. And he doesn't get mad about things I get mad. Nobody does, actually. And by the way, I never said that beauty was an adjective. I said beauty beauty is a noun that refers to a condition. Does not refer to a specific. How many, have you ever had seven beauties once in your Lufthansa bag? You know where I can go out and buy nine beauties? You see, so the point being that we have made a condition, which is a noun, of course, into a specific thing. It's like calling a happy, nine happies, or nine wonderfuls, or seven. See, beauty is not essentially a noun, really. You get into it is a noun, it isn't a noun. You get involved, this is a terrible thing. Now, of course, on the other hand, my father goes along, see, and he refers to my Uncle Tom as a smooth article. Well, Uncle Tom had more jowls than you see this side of a jello mold. It was wild. He jiggled all over the place. No, it's the truth. I mean, have you ever seen a jello mold? That's why I can't dig tomato aspic. It looks like a pile of old jowls. It was an awful thing. Dewlaps. You know what is it, a dewlap? Well, it's a dewlap. It's a dewlap. Well, you've seen Elsa Maxwell. Well, then you know about dewlaps. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with dewlaps. I mean, a good, impressive dewlap, a human chandelier. Nothing but dewlaps swinging all over the place, you know, little pendants. And Uncle Tom had these dewlaps all over, and he was referred to by my father as a real smooth article. Well, again, there was a long discussion as to what involved a smooth article. You see, it's a problem of, I guess it's a problem of basic, it's semantics again, semantics. Now, I'm quite sure that at least 900,000 kids out there don't even know what I'm saying when I refer to a good time Charlie. Well, either do I, kid.
The Overnightscape 2143 Rempo Pacho Allo, August 13th, 24, 33 60ths.
I want to thank all the cheese companies for making vegan versions of their cheese. Yum, yum. Let me wash that down with some Soon, Harry. What a meal. So the other day I decided I wanted to go to there's a new Stu Leonard's near us. So Stu Leonard's is a chain of very special supermarkets that got its start in Connecticut. In fact, I work with a guy that grew up in Connecticut, and he has very cherished childhood memories of going to Stu Leonard's. So it's like a supermarket, but they created almost like a labyrinth. You can only go through one way. Normal supermarkets have aisles, so you get sort of random access. But this one, you have to walk through in a specific way. A lot like an IKEA, right? I don't know which one came first, or they great minds think alike, and I don't know. But and the first one I went to was up at the Paramus Park Mall. I've been there several times. I actually recorded when I went there the first time. They have, kind of like Disney World, they have audio animatronic figurines that sing and dance. So it's great for kids, you know. You have the singing cows and various other types of features like that. It's very different than any other supermarket, but it's not very vegan-oriented. In fact, they have a lot of cheese, but there's no vegan cheese that I saw. They have, you know, like soy milks and stuff, but definitely not necessarily for vegans. But they do have alcohol there. They have beer and stuff, so I got some good beer from, I think, Hackensack Brewing. It was pretty good. I just figured I would go there for fun. I needed some pasta and stuff. Very different kind of place, and I think it's really only in this area. I know it's not around. I know there's another supermarket like that somewhere called Jungle Jim's out in the Midwest somewhere. I think I got on this topic before, the whole, you know, special supermarket situation. And out front they have this, like their Ten Commandments. They're like, rule one, the customer is always right. Rule two, if the customer is not right, see rule one. I don't know how that works in practice, you know. I mean, customers can be very difficult. When you tell them they're right, I mean, what do you say? When you go to the checkout lane, you buy like $200 worth of stuff. Hey, I'm the customer. Yeah, let me have this for like 50 cents. No, it's $200. Well, do you see what it says outside? The customer is always right. Yeah, but it's clearly $200. You can't just pay 50 cents. What's rule two? If the customer is not right, see rule one. I wonder if anyone ever, I'm sure people tried to sort of that gimmick, but you know. Yeah, so I went there. I was just wandering around and I got some random stuff. I don't even know what I got. I got some tortilla chips and various other things, some pasta, as I said, and then I was in the nut section. I was so annoyed because I remember last time I was there, they had this big container of Virginia peanuts, and that was pretty good. And they had like no peanuts there. They only had peanuts in the shell, kind of like what I had at Five Guys. But I don't really want peanuts in the shell for home. It's such a mess. Even if I ate it outside on the porch, it would create a mess on the porch. You know the peanuts in the shell? They're very good, but they're very messy. So I wanted to get the Virginia peanuts, but they weren't there. I actually went.
Morning commute with Bob, number 190 ditched, June 25th, 13:07.
Here, the cameras were fairly close to the top of the roof. There wasn't a big riser on it, but this other one I saw was a Prius, and you know, it had a fairly tall stand on it. The cameras mounted on top of that to where it was taller than like an SUV. I wonder if they found if a big guy a truck or something by them, they just got totally blocked out. So, but yeah, the Google car has been around here a couple times. I'll have to look, see if I can find myself. Very bumpy. Very bumpy on this road, this one. Hello, ladies. Got some ladies sitting out. I don't know what that place is. Working there. Ah, they're getting a delivery to the restaurant. It's like, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. That guy has a white beard without any beard part, like mutton chops. I'm next to St. Louis Finest here. Police. Very bumpy this morning, I don't know why. I guess I'm early this morning, because normally I'm here. I'm driving to a place that does roofing, like all types of roofing, including tile, I think is their specialty. And usually as I'm coming in the morning, all the roofers are showing up, unless they got an earlier start because it's so dang hot. I wouldn't blame them. It's been like in the 90s all week here. I was out last night after dark, I mean like at 9 something, doing some things outside, and still was hot. Terrible. I thought it would be cooler. It stinks. I wonder if they put cold AC. I just went by used car place. They always put cold AC. They just don't put AC.
Air conditioning. Radio Free Shambles. Riff. 26/26.
Half a mile. Drop another person out, you know, and try to get each person to see if they can get a pumpkin. And, so, I got out, and I was just walking alongside the road, and they drove away, and they're like, "We'll be right back." I'm like, okay, I'm sure I'm not remembering exactly how this went, but this seemed to be what happened. And then I'm walking along on the road, and it's kind of chilly out, and I'm got my denim jacket on, which I used to always wear a blue jean jacket. Like that was my thing from about the time I was, I don't know, 12 till I was about 25 or so. That was like my trademark, basically. I don't have a denim jacket now. I haven't worn one in years, but that was my big trademark for a long time. And so I'm walking along, and all of a sudden I remember this girl from high school who, sometime shortly after high school, she had been killed on that road by, strangely enough, a boyfriend by accident. Like, they had been fighting, she got out of the car, and then he drove off, and he came back to get her, and then, bam. And I thought about that, and then I started just, like, freaking out. Like, my anxiety just, like, phew, skyrocketed, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what do I do? You know, just, and I was remembering that story, and thinking, I don't know if I thought somebody was going to come back around and hit me or what was going on, but I got off of the road and was just kind of standing there. And then they came back and they were like, okay, we're going to go back home. Forget this. I don't know what happened there, but I think like they heard a dog barking and that, like, that was it. So I got back in the car and I'm like, you know, and like, what's the matter? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I think I ended up mentioning, you know, this is where, you know, that happened to her. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they kind of just, one of the girls was listening to me, but the other ones were like, kind of just changed the subject and went on. But that was another weird late night country road kind of story. I didn't realize I had more than one late night country road story. Wow. But let's see. I'll check my time. Ooh, right at an hour and a half now. So I think we'll leave it at that. Good episode. I'm happy with this one. You know, thanks for listening.
The Overnightscape 1386, Dusting Panther West, May 1st, 17, 1146.
It's a cool town. So I looked on Google Maps and tried to find a barber shop. Now, meanwhile, like where I live, there's like a hair salon next door, so I usually just go to a hair salon. But I don't know. I guess it would be better just to go to a barber shop. I was feeling a bit apprehensive about going to a strange barber shop, but I figured I would try it. My hair was so... It wasn't that it was long, it was that it was just like in between. If I wanted to get it to be long or short, but it was just horrible, like curling in weird ways and just all over the place, looked horrible. So I start walking, so I was like, okay, Rob and Greg, I'll see you later, I'm going to go to this barber shop. So I start walking away, go across the street, go down for a while, and I realize I'm walking the wrong way. I misinterpreted my Google Maps. So then I'm walking the other way down the street, and then they see me from across the street, and I wave. I'm like, yeah, just going the wrong way. So I go down to this side street, and there's this barber shop, but it had already closed. It was like 3:30, and it closed at 3. So then I walk back. So meanwhile, they're talking, they're seeing me walking all over Red Bank, you know, haphazardly. Then I talked to them a lot more. It was really cool. Then we took that picture that I put on Facebook of us standing there in front of Yestercade's. Yeah. So, I did finally get a haircut yesterday. I just went next door. It was necessary. I don't know. I might want to grow my hair long again, but I don't know if I'm really ready for that. It's just easier keeping it normal, short length. See, everyone wants to think they're special by getting stuff like, you know, hairdos and tattoos and piercings and stuff. But this show is my version of that, you know, some unique thing that's to myself, of myself, to make me think everything's okay is this show. So it's similar to a tattoo in some ways. We all need to feel that there's something special about us in some way. Why? Why not just be a good little worker drone and live your life? Because we can't. We're restless spirits. And angry and bitter. What a wonderful world. All angry and bitter people, all restless all the time. Great. Great world. Great, great. So after we left Red Bank, we needed to stop by a Walmart. My wife had this gift card for Walmart that was like really old. She wanted to finally use it. So we wound up going to the Walmart in Woodbridge. I had never been there before. I don't go to Walmart very often. There's really, like, I go to Target. There's a Target near me, but I don't go to Walmart very often.
New Midnight Cassette 07, Old Hard Rap, 2012, 04/31. Zero 04-09 The Motor Excursion Ruffians Number 4, Figment, June 28, 08, Part 3, 16/18.
Thank you. slowly filing towards the door in this very humid boat. You can hear the jingle bells of the jester guy.
Yeah.
I gotta be careful not to step on his cape. You know, talk about forgetting, like, short pants. How about, you know...
Yeah.
You know, like... You know, how about some bells? You know what I mean? Ooh, here we go. Getting ready. This used to be a Coast Guard base.
Used to be a what?
Coast Guard base, this island.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right. When I came here, I was here for like hours and hours by myself, and so I know the island sort of at this point, like the layout of it. We should probably go to the fortress or something.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on the island here. Oh, there's a red guy. Look, a red guy.
Yep.
The guy's painted all red. That's cool. There's going to be a lot. Is a blue guy? Nice. We're like, really, we don't have a costume or anything, you know? Look, a fairy girl. Fairies. A yellow guy. A guy all painted yellow. You see a pattern here?
Yeah, I do.
Like, you just have to get painted a certain color. Oh, wow. So, let's... Oh, look, that girl has stilts on. She's like a giant.
Wow.
This is cool, man. It's like walking into a dream, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know, man? So...
Hello.
Hey, let's go over this way. Yeah. This will be a good place. Artist, well, we're not artists.
No.
We're just, well, we are. We're audio artists.
Yes, we are.
But we don't need to check in. We're just going to walk around and make comments about everything. We're not really producing any. Well, we are producing something, but. What do you want? Like, people who went to Figment. Well, look, are you listening? Sound walk, 2 p.m.
Sneaky TT Broadcasting System 3, April 28th, 12th,
13:35. I think you guys have got it together now. I've got to go on. There are others who don't know what you know. So long. Keep those body temperatures up.
Safety Sue.
Thank you, Safety Sue.
I wonder whatever happened to Safety Sue. This is from the... Hold on. Here's the credits. USAAVS. The United States, or the U.S. Army Agency for Aviation Safety, the people you turn to for safety. Aviation safety. How does it... Produced by Motion Picture Television Production Division. John Bransby Productions Limited Contractor. 1977. The end. Wow. Military contractor. See, you think a military contractor, you think something very boring or very sinister. But you could be a military contractor to make movies like Safety Sue. And that's very cool. So, I wanted to try to find something on here that... I'm trying to find... If I can look for this. Country Time? Is it in here? Country Time USA? Country Style USA. Yeah. Country Style. It's like a country music show that is for military recruiting. And we have a bunch here. I don't know which one to take. I think we're going to have to just go for kind of a random number here. Why don't we try episode 19 of Country Style USA. And this is also a public domain video. And this is from, I'm not sure when this is from. Somewhere in the, somewhere between 1962 and 1972. Country Style USA. Let's check this out. This is, how long is this? Let's take a look. 16 minutes long. And it's 111 USACS 19 transferred to tape on September 13th, 2006. So someone, yeah, you can do this. Apparently this is what people are doing. There are all of these federal government offices. I know, and you know, you think of the federal government as this just big, horrible thing that just causes people problems and blah, blah, blah. But they have these incredibly strange and wonderful movies. And they store them, but they're not required to put them on the internet. So what people have been doing, I think they've been paying the fee. I actually looked into it. There's a show called, what's it called? I can't remember it at the moment, but I wanted to see about the process of getting them, and it seems pretty...
Hey everybody, it's Jimbo. Fire 013, June 9th, 15, 09/12.
Well, draft the last couple, 3 days, I don't know. And once you get past, you know, round 25 or so, I think they stop. And it's just not anything like the NBA or the NFL draft. Of course, the NFL draft is a big, huge thing on television, but the Major League draft just has been... televised the last 2 or 3 years, and now they're trying to make a big deal out of it, but it's not a big deal. These guys are, you know, the NFL guys get drafted. They're in the NFL next year, or either that or they don't make it, or whatever. But in baseball, you know, if you, even if you're like the number one pick or the number two pick or number three pick, you're probably going to spend 3 or 4 years in the minor leagues. Two to three years, anyway. And now, of course, so many guys are being brought up at age 20 or so. That's real common these days. You know, when I was a kid, you didn't get up to the major leagues. I don't care how good you were, and unless you were like 22 or 23 or 24. But times have changed. And now the major league teams are trying to get as much out of these guys at this young age. You know, there's athletics has just increased dramatically. You know, athletes are way bigger and stronger and faster than they were when I was a kid, and that's no doubt about it. And I'm not here to bore you with baseball talk, but you know, that is on the docket today of things that are going on in the news. Let's see what else is going on in the news. It says a new, this is new information. The Army website has been hacked. Uh-oh, it's probably those Chinese again. And what's those Chinese? Chinese are hell crackers, aren't they? Or hackers, hackers, crackers. I guess crackers, they call it hacking, but hacking is not... Anybody can hack. Hack just means you're just trying to see what's going on. Cracking is the word that you really want to use here. Hacking is always used wrongly. Almost always in the media, in the mainstream media. So I'm just letting you know. Hacking now, I guess, means, encompasses all kinds of stuff, including cracking. But hacking's really not the word you want because, you know, if you got any kind of computer skills at all, you're hacking stuff all the time. And I don't mean breaking into places and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying. But your own software, your own stuff, you know. For example, if you use Firefox or Chrome and you use scripts, that's basically you're hacking into the program. So, I mean, you know, and, you know, you use apps and stuff for your phones. That's hacking into the program, believe it or not, your operating system. Yes, I'm telling you that's true. That's what they're doing. I mean, so we're all, almost all of us are hackers, whether we know it or not. Cracking is a different.
Overnightscape Central Things We Like, August 18th, 14, 05/39.
Like, I don't know what God they're praying for. And the mentors I like seem to be pretty vague in what they're saying. It's not them. Do you recommend anyone in particular? See if I can find the translation for that one. Continue to scroll on my Twitter feed. I've got Father Ted. Someone to watch over me by an Irish singer called Mary Byrne. Got some Super Ego. Some Virginia Woolf. Rhodes is a new discovery. The song is called Breathe. It's really good. See if I can play part of it. Translation for Satnarayan Waheguru, Hari Narayan Satnam is true sustainer, indescribable wisdom, creative source. This is my true identity. And I don't know what to say about it. I mean, part of me is atheistic. Part of me wants to withdraw back into conservative Christianity. But my true identity seems to resonate with this music. Okay, let's move on to other things I like. This year has been the year of Andy Daly. Andy Daly, podcast pilot project on Earwolf. I don't know if it's a certain kind of person likes this humor, but my god, I've had a good time with this stuff. I split the files into like 20-minute segments, stick them in a folder. So I've got a folder with over 100 comedy bits in it for any time I'm really depressed. I need to listen to it more often, huh? It starts off with, okay, I gotta play one part. Let's pause. So yeah, the first Andy Daly pilot podcast pilot project, after they talk about it. The first full episode is The Wit and Wisdom of the West with Dalton Wilcox. He's a cowboy poet, and he has some associates, one of whom is Sally Jesper. And this is her poem.
All right, Sally Jesper, let's hear your poem.
All right, mine's called Who Am I? Please don't judge. Don't whisper while I read it.
All right, you got it.
My boots are heavy. My clothes are thick and dusty. My hair is hidden under a hat. I am a...
Overnightscape Central Guilty Pleasures, Innocent Times and Trying Situations, May 10th, 24, 51 55ths.
Haze of ignorance that is rather unfathomable to me. Let's see if we can see what this is.
How many weeks are in a year?
Weeks in a year? Dang it.
This is just from a month ago.
I'm currently on the dumbest college campus in my city and will be asking these NPCs general knowledge questions. Make sure to stay till the end of the video.
NPCs is kind of a pejorative term. Non-player characters, like when you're playing a video game, they're not being controlled by a real person. They're just non-player characters that only have sort of pre-made... They have predetermined answers to questions and stuff, and then... It could either mean someone that's really stupid and unsophisticated, or that we're living in a simulation and these individuals are actually not even real people. But anyway.
To restore your faith in humanity. Also, do not forget to subscribe. We're trying to hit 100K by the end of the year. Anyways, let's get straight to it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how smart are you?
17.
9 out of 10?
See, 8.
Like a 7?
I feel like intelligence is kind of measured in, like, different levels. Okay. So, like, it depends, like, what aspect.
And this is also perhaps an example of trying times. Obviously, these days we're in somewhat trying times with our ever increasingly cartoonish politics, dumbing down of society, etc., etc. the incredible importance of social media in people's lives. In a way, I feel that in my position and having grown up without any of this stuff and in that cynical age, that I have some sort of natural resistance to these, some of the more rough aspects of these trying times. But again, I find it very hard to try to imagine what it's like to be a young person today.
I'd say probably enough. How long is a quarter of an hour?
25 minutes?
25 minutes? Where would you do to get 25 minutes? Like, would you add or subtract?
No, it was just like into fours. That's how I see the clock.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. No. It's 15 minutes.
Oh.
Can you name me three countries other than America?
Africa?
Okay. That's one. Give me two more.
Nah, hell nah, bro. You sick.
Like,
that's the question.
Even
again.
Bro is flabbergasted.
Let's start over.
That's a continent. You talking like what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, let's start over.
These niggas finna make a TikTok on your ass.
Three countries other than America.
I don't know. I think.
Okay.
I've only been in America.
Oh, okay. So since you've been in America, you wouldn't know other countries.
Yeah, no. I don't be caring about that.
How long is a quarter of an hour?
20 minutes.
You got me on that one.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a lot of math.
I don't know.
I'm not good at math. I don't know that one.
15 minutes.
What is 3 cubed?
9.
Okay. What is 3 times 3 times 3?
9.
9. Okay.
Am I getting them right?
Nope.
How many weeks are in a year? That should be easy.
Definitely.
That's easy.
What, is it like
28, 27?
20. Anyway, you get the idea. It goes on from there. This guy's more recent. There's another guy that goes to Times Square.
The exit ramp number 39, Masquerade Habitat, November 6th, 22, 3866.
As sad as that is, why now is there this huge push to make it into a topic? And I think any topic you're talking about a lot is naturally blocking out other topics. So
here's why I'd say it would be the difference. And I think and Dave, you being, I think, our senior person can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I think at least over the last 25, we'll say from the 80s, Nate, from the 80s, at least the last 25 to 40 years, there's been a change in government on doing things for the people as opposed to doing things for the corporations. Okay. Pfizer is just an example of that was just pointed out. So I think over the last 40 years, there's been many more decisions that are corporate based sided than there are people sided. So if you look at just, public works and things like that, there shouldn't be any argument between two candidates that say we need to feed people who can't feed themselves. That's not an argument that needs to be made, right? It should be an actual, yes, we need to feed people who can't feed themselves. But it is. It is an argument. Oh, we're not going to do welfare. You know, well, why? You should be saying we're not going to do welfare the same way we did it. We're going to do welfare differently, but we're not going to argue against welfare and Social Security, because both of those things help people, right? So I think that's the difference. And that's the way, at least my perception of it over time, is that in the past, it was a little more equal. They did things for the corporations, they did things for the people. And now we're really kind of going more to one side. I mean, yeah. If this inflation tells us anything, is the oil companies need more money? You know what I'm saying? They have record profits.
I wonder about all the stuff. All the stuff in Ukraine seems like there's some other stuff going on. Like, I've heard some people argue that it's redacted. A guy named Clayton Morris. He had an interesting angle on it, that it was an attempt by NATO to preserve the dollar, you know, from the Bretton Woods agreement meaning of the U.S. dollar as the, you know, the one global currency that oil can be traded in. And and that this war is really China and the Soviet Union and Iran and other folks trying to establish a new, a new method of trade outside of the Bretton Woods dollar. So I think that's interesting to look into. I don't know all the details on it.
Yeah, I mean, the dollar is propped up by that, really, right? That it has that sort of inherent value that you can buy oil with it.
Well, it's the only, it means that the more debt.
The Rambler number 236, March 17th, 09, 10.18, 06/14.
There's some sort of feces there. That's not good. All right, we'll sit here. Okay, here we go. Well, there's bird crap on the other side of the table. Anyway, here's what we got. So this is band, Nine Black Alps, right? They released this album, God only knows when it was, 2004, maybe, God only knows. So, it was a decent album, I listened to it somewhat. But what is it about bands? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. Like, look what I'm doing. I'm creating some new stuff every day, throwing it online. You can get it for free. The hell you want, you know? What am I going to do, charge people money for it? You know what I'm saying? But any kind of a podcast or a blogger, people create the content, they create something new, put it out, and people check it out. So why can't a band do that? Or are bands doing that? Like, why is it that, like, you have to spend, like, years making one album of, like, 40 minutes of music, and then that's it? And maybe a couple years later, you make another 40 minutes of music. What the hell's up with that? Like, why can't a band just have a blog and just basically... Here's a new song we just made, and here it is. You know? Why not, here's a song in progress, check it out. And here's the finished version. Like, just put it online, like a blog. Why are musicians on this other track where they spend years making it, and then they got to try to sell it? Look, that's not going to work. That's only going to... Like, look, obviously, like Rush Limbaugh, if you want to buy his podcast, the EIB podcast, if you want to buy that... Yeah, it's going to cost you some money, but we're talking about a very, very few people that are at that level. Musicians as well, a very tiny percentage of musicians are able to, like, make money at it. So why are independent musicians and, you know, people that have not yet have made it, or even, like, a band like this, Nine Black Alps, you know, why are they still going in the same dead, completely dead format of... That, why not just say, hey, we're a band, we like to play, and here's, like, do it like a, almost like a podcast, but, like, if you make a new song, release it. I don't know, like, if you're a band and you made up a new song, why can't you put it online? What would be the downside? Oh my god, people, I know what they're gonna say. Oh, what if we release it for free? No one's gonna buy the album when it comes out. Well, no, there will be no album to buy. There is that, like, give up on that. This is it. You put it out. You put this stuff out, and I'm sure this band's doing it. If you know a good example of something like that, let me know. I just don't know any examples of that, but like this, the old model is dead. The old model is dead. It's so sad. I hear about a band, and I'm like, oh, I'd like to hear this band's work. And you go on, you know, the usual places to find pirate stuff, which like Blogspot, Rapture, all that kind of stuff, and it's like, this, you know, I had to take this link down because of a DCMIAIA request. Then you look further down in the blog comments and someone else posted the link. Can you imagine? I'm like, do they really, like, in this day and age, they still want to put this barrier up to their music? What the fuck? I don't get it. And just, like, look over there. Can we see it? I can't really see it from here, but the New York Times building, that's right across from the Port Authority bus terminal. Newspapers, dinosaurs.
Conspiracast Episode 8, March 28th, 08, 01/18.
Okay, welcome to the show. This is episode 8 of Conspiracast at conspiracast.com. I am your host, Edward James Murray. We have a lot in store for you again today. Another hour on Friday. Come join us at conspiracast.com. Join into the forums. Let's move forward and see what we have next. Yes, welcome back to Conspiracast, episode 8. I've been trying to get this one together for a while now. It's been a couple of days, and I've been kind of become a gambler from poker connected to Facebook. I think there's a couple of different networks connected to it, Bebo and different stuff. Actually, don't like Facebook at all from what I've heard of it, because being the conspiratorial person that I am, I've heard a lot of bad stuff about it, and so I made up a completely false name, a completely anonymous email, all especially to deal with Facebook, and I'm very careful who I add to it and everything. So, but the poker is very good on it, and I gained a lot of money on it, I think over 50, 60,000, but then I lost a lot of money on it. Well, it's not money, it's points, so I'm glad it's not real money, but but I do play for a little bit of real money here, but in actually real life as well. It's not much money. It's about 10 euro or something like that. We play maybe on Thursday nights in the pub here, and there's some sort of professional places around, so that's fun. So this is episode 8 of Conspiracast, and we're just going to go into a couple of different things. I'm going to talk a little bit about chemtrails again. It seems to be very topical at the moment, a lot going on about it, and a lot of people theorizing what it is, what's in it, what it may be. And
The Malt Shop, Whispering Kangaroo, May 4th, 2020. The Rempler on WFMU, Episode 13, September 19th, 09, 1269.
More video stream. Who knows? I may bring it back in the future, but I just, I felt it was a distraction. So I'm making this into one loop. So this is almost going to be like a necklace. This is really amazing. Actually, I discovered this online. These things have been around for a while, but I saw those videos, I think about, I don't know, 6 months ago, but I never ordered it because these magnets are dangerous, and I was very scared of the magnets, but I think I've overcome my magnet fear. Would that be like magophobia or something? I don't know. All right, I have formed them now into one contiguous loop. So if you imagine I'm holding this, it looks like some sort of those Mardi Gras beads, like, but just with smaller beads. It is a contiguous necklace, and you can shake it back and forth, and it is just, you would think this is a string of beads, you know, like a cheap little fake necklace kind of thing. Yet they're only being held together by magnetism. It's amazing. Then you can sort of click them together, and it forms almost like it's now too wide, right? It orders itself into different shapes. It's amazing. Now, the reason these are dangerous, I mean, first of all, they're extremely powerful magnets. And as you know, magnets can wreak havoc on technology items. So if you had one of the old floppy drives or even a hard drive, if you got a big magnet near it, you could like destroy all your data. Like, imagine if you have like an iPod or something that has a hard drive and you put these magnets near it, it's going to like erase it. I don't know that it would do that, but that's my fear. Also, of course, credit cards. You know, those are little magnetic stripes. Your credit cards, all of your different cards in your wallet. So this is very dangerous stuff. But that is not the most horrible fear. Oh, wow. Now I have I almost made like a magic wand. A wand of magnets. Wow, this is so cool. I know this would be a good thing for the video, but I don't have the video going. Let me take. Where am I going to put this thing? If you hear the mixing board like go haywire, it's because of these magnets. All right, I'm going to take two of these individual magnets. All right, All right, so you know, like, let me see if I can do this. Like, on your, you know, like, on your, can I do this? Hold on. Hold on a second here. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, on your hand, the sort of, the skin between your index finger and your thumb? I guess, do people get that pierced ever? But if you put two magnets on either side of that skin, they'll just stick there. It's like pinching my skin. Right, and you can do this on your earlobe too, and it actually kind of hurts. It's the magnets are so powerful they're like pinching me. What is this? I'm reading on the chat room here. Jim Sally,
the Midnight Citizen 21 Fat Tuesday / Apartment Hunting 07/19.
Found out a huge major flaw about them yesterday is that they don't always tell the truth, which is pretty normal. But so far, a lot of the private landlords we've dealt with have maintain their truth. You know, they've had pretty good disclosure about their apartments before we go in to see them. But this one thing, we went on to Craigslist the other day and found this really nice building on 33rd Street. It's got porches, you know, just a very nice little four-unit building. So we make an appointment to go in and get a key. We have to drop off a key deposit. We have to go to Homewood, which really isn't that far from where we live. But the only thing is, we have to go there in the middle of the day, and there's like a million red lights in Homewood that we have to sit in during the middle of lunchtime traffic. Have to go, and we get to their office, and they give us the key. I give them $20, and they give us a piece of paper that kind of just has a reference sheet letting us know all the utilities, what's included in the rent, and so on. So, and so then we have to leave their office, go all the way back through Homewood, just this ridiculous long exodus that takes about 30, 45 minutes. Go back to Highland, where the apartment is. We look at the sheet, and you know, the sheet says the same thing it said on the internet. Two bedrooms and hardwood floors. Okay, so that's great, and the rent is incredibly cheap too. First of all, like, there's only two of us. We don't really need a second bedroom, but right now we've got a friend who is going to contribute a little bit of money to us every month to kind of let us store some stuff for him in the apartment. So that's what we'd use a second bedroom for, is, you know, kind of a storage space / office. So we, you know, we're excited because it's a two-bedroom apartment with a porch, hardwood floors. And not, you know, the rent is not bad. The rent is something like $650 a month, I think. So it's good, and like water's included in the utilities. So we get over there to 33rd Street after this little exodus, and we walk into the apartment. First thing we see is just carpet, top to bottom. There's a little bit of hardwood in the apartment. There's some hardwood in kind of this little foyer area between the living room and the porch. Okay, and that I could kind of deal with. What I couldn't deal with is that there was only one bedroom. No, I couldn't deal with the carpet. No, I didn't want carpet. I could not deal with that at all. The deal was automatically broken, okay, when we saw carpet. The other major thing was that there was not a second bedroom. There was only one bedroom in this apartment. And I kept on looking back and forth from the sheet. I thought I was going nuts. It's, you know, it said two bedrooms and hardwood floors. What's going on here? Okay, so we're just on our way back, completely pissed off that we've just wasted about an hour and a half looking at this property when we're kind of down to the wire. I mean, this is something like, this is Friday, you know, and we've got until tomorrow to renew the lease and decide whether or not we're moving someplace. And, you know, we had other places that we wanted to look at, so we wasted a good hour and a half, not to mention gas.
The Midnight Citizen 135 windshield move, September 12th, 15, 32 34ths.
Really enjoyed the movie, and I want to go see it again, so. What else was I going to say about a walk in the woods? I don't know. But yeah, you know, you should go see it. And I mean, if nothing else, you know, read the book, because the book is very interesting. It's not just about a guy walking the Appalachian Trail, but it has a lot of interesting kind of curiosities that tell you about the trail and its makeup, its mountains, its geology, its history, you know, and just the idea of hiking and the idea of being outdoors is something that just, you know, fascinates me. I like to be outdoors and I like to go hiking, and I you know, do like the idea of just walking and walking and walking without really any purpose except to just walk, and you know, that's what the movie's all about. And I do tend to get very overwhelmed by sitting in front of computers all day, and I think that's why I like the book so much. I mean, you know, this week I was at work and kind of stressed out, and I would take breaks, you know, just like 20-minute breaks here and there to just kind of pick up the book and read it. And you know, I don't get too much therapy by books. I mean, books is usually like a very active process for me, you know, reading and understanding and comprehending. And but A Walk in the Woods, you know, there's something different about that book. For some reason, I can just pick it up and it just, it's like comforting, you know? I don't know what it is. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've always, you know, set around, and several times I've sat here on this show and talked about it and ragged about these comic book movies, you know, that are just so bad and just look so annoying. But, you know, the people who go to see those movies have built 30-year relationships with the characters, so much so that they can ignore a movie that may not be very good just because they like the characters and they have a relationship to it, to the material. And, you know, now I can... This movie was kind of eye-opening for me in a way, because I understand a little bit more now, like, what it really truly means to have a relationship with a piece of material, to the point where you can kind of blind your eyes to the weaker aspects and the cheaper jokes and just kind of accept it. So anyway, so there you go, A Walk in the Woods. You know, I don't know if that review was better than the one I gave it last week, but you should, you know, go see it. 4 stars, whatever. And talking about cheap jokes, yeah, there was this, you know, going to the movies is kind of torturous, you know, because you have to sit through all these trailers for movies you're never going to see. And, oh man, there was this one preview before we saw Walk.
The Midnight Citizen 250, Gas Station Wine, July 1st, 23:04/20.
Dave's house. And, yeah, he just asked me to come over and, sit out here with their dog Mila while their house is being cleaned by this professional cleaning service. So they were afraid that they're both out of town today, and like the dog usually like freaks out whenever they have company over, and so they just didn't want the people to be like scared off, I guess, by this dog who right now is totally just asleep in the shade, could not be any interested in going in and scaring off cleaning people. But nevertheless, Dave asked me to come over here, and he paid me with a cigar, which I've got right here. It's a Rocky Patel Edge Sumatra cigar, so maybe I'll have that in just a minute. I don't know. Maybe we will. But yeah, it is quite hot out here today. I've been out. This is a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon here, and yeah, I've been out just all morning long, going between multiple jobs in the area. I was talking about this last week, like my summer has just been full of moonlighting and just going out and just doing various jobs, making money and really like whatever I can, just living very much like this kind of slacker like existence where like everything I do is just kind of to subsidize just moments like this, just kind of hanging around and doing nothing and not feeling like I should be out making money and supporting myself. And this has just really like been what the last year or so of my life has been like ever since I quit my job teaching. Lots of just going back and forth between anything that can yield me like a little bit of an income while I finish my master's degree in English literature. Yeah, yesterday was definitely a very bizarre day because I was just going back and forth between three different jobs all day long. I was tutoring for the University Writing Center. So I have to do tutoring for students as part of my agreement with the university that they pay for all my school, basically pay for me to get a degree. And in exchange, I have to tutor their students. And so I was tutoring students all day long yesterday. I was going back and forth between that. I was also out delivering food for Grubhub. Delivering food to like people in offices and retirees at their houses and kids whose parents had left them their credit card.
Three nines, June 18th, 15:015/131.
We missed our bus accidentally. And then we went and got the Kroger card. And then we went and saw the Cavemen's Chorus. Oh, it's so exciting. Of a dream. Don't know what the context was, but I think Lea Michele was in Ragtime in Canada. I kind of remember that from one of her YouTube things I heard. There was a weird sand thing. I'm close to the river. It feels almost beachy. Enjoy beaches. It's strange. I enjoy beachside communities, but not beaches. And I enjoy looking over the water. I just don't like sand. Anyways, I got a reminder. Please bring a computer. Sorry, I didn't finish. I thought Monday morning I have training. They told me to bring a computer or a tablet. But I own neither. Is that technically true? I kind of have a Nook type thing in a drawer that I haven't used. Imelda Staunton's Rose's Turn is really, really good. Gonna have to listen to it. Maybe now. Maybe I'll sing along as we walk on this street. Ooh, and Bombshell. I forgot about Bombshell. I retweeted a lot of Bombshell related stuff. They've got an event on Monday evening. It's very exciting. Of course, I'm not to rely on it being on YouTube. Music, musicals, Gypsy Staunton, Rose's Turn and Play,
The Overnightscape 981, Journal Square Daydream, June 21st, 13:09/45.
Non-refillable. Someone stashed their cards there. Let's see. The other side here, yeah. It's just a continuation of this amazing station. Now, let's go up, shall we? I love that cliff wall, the rock wall, like we're just underground. Some people going to 33rd Street. That's where we just were, 33rd Street. This is awesome. So then you go up this this escalator, kind of a short escalator, not an average length escalator. And then you're on this landing area, which is has curved windows. This is the exit to the street. And there's a little waiting area here. You can hang out. And here we go. Exit through the turnstiles. They have all the machines you can buy. Oh, they do. See, I was wondering. They do have an actual... look at this. In New Jersey, there is a New York subway system machine. That is very cool. For Metro cards. That is great. Who knew? Who knew those subway machines existed in New Jersey? Now, looking up at many levels, there's a concrete roof. It's this whole concourse thing. It's very cool. I don't really remember this part. This whole reality may have shifted a bit since I was last here, but this doesn't look that familiar. It's supposed to be a statue of Jackie Robinson or someone around here. I don't know. So let's see. Okay, so what do we have here? On this landing, we have Deli Plus, the Duane Reade, the Sovereign Bank. And this is what I'm thinking. This, and then we another escalator you can go up to the street. We will go up there. But here is the Deli Plus over here. You can grab some food. It's a big food place. But here is the parking lot section. Oh, my God. This is like walking into my own past. I have not been here in ages. I think my wife and I came over to go to New York. We parked over here once. Probably, I don't know, man, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it's like a mall in here. It's like a shopping mall. All right, I want to go to the... All right, we'll walk around the mall. Then I want to go up to the parking plaza. I want to pretend like I've parked there. I need to remember the feeling of, like, getting back to the car and then driving down these ramps and paying the parking fee and then traveling the memorized route to the Pulaski Skyway. Can you imagine? I'm here now. I'm at Journal Square. The XL Federal Credit Union. Jackson Hewitt Tax Service. Oh, here's the restrooms. I remember these restrooms. Maybe I'll use them for old time's sake, you know? Liberty Tax Service. Half the businesses here are tax services. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, the restrooms is weird because there's like this... There's this large, unnecessary open space. I think there used to be payphones in here back in that time period. Last time I was here, there were payphones. You see how long ago it was? Then you get to the restroom. I'll pause while I go in the restroom. You know, talking about brutalist architecture. The bathroom is definitely an example of the brutalist school. What a weird bathroom, man. Bagel Witch. And right after, oh my God, right after you leave the bathroom, there's an ad for this place called Bagel Witch, where there's a bread roll character that looks like it could be a turd as well. Really appropriate for the bathroom. Now, what is this? Oh, kissing.